Attention listeners, AfterSight's annual hike is coming up on July 27th.
It was a really good experience for me.
Visit aftersight.org/hike and become an audio trekker today.
That hike today gave me so much courage.
Welcome. You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for the Loveland Reporter Herald, read by Catherine Villa. This is being recorded on April 27th. Today, we will be reading the following main articles. 2022 Police Shooting. Jury Deadlocks on Murder Charge. Written by Shelley Bradbury. Agriculture. Bird Flu Confirmed in State Dairy Cows as Outbreak Spreads. Written by Elizabeth Hernandez. Federal Reserve Preferred Inflation Gauge Stays High Last Month, written by Christopher Rugeber. And following up with miscellaneous articles. 2022 Police Shooting. Jury Deadlocks on Murder Charge. Buen Guilty of Reckless Endangerment in Death of Christian Glass. By Shelley Bradbury. Jurors couldn't reach a verdict on the murder charge against the former Clear Creek County Sheriff's deputy who shot and killed Christian Glass nearly 2 years ago, but on Friday convicted the deputy of reckless endangerment. Andrew Buen, 30, was charged with second-degree murder, official misconduct, and reckless endangerment for killing Glass on June 10, 2022, after the 22-year-old called 911 for help when his car got stuck on a rock. Glass, who had marijuana and amphetamine in his system, told dispatchers he was afraid of skinwalkers and people chasing him. Jurors on Friday deadlocked on the murder and official misconduct counts, but convicted Buen of reckless endangerment, a misdemeanor typically punished by no more than 120 days in jail. Buen would have faced years in prison if convicted of second-degree murder. The jurors deliberated for about 2.5 days before informing District Judge Catherine Schirutz around 4:30 p.m. Friday that they could not reach a verdict on the two most serious charges in the case. Because the jury did not reach verdicts, 5th Judicial District Attorney Heidi McCollum could continue to pursue the murder and official misconduct charges against Buen. She said Friday she has not yet decided whether she will do so, but expects to make that decision in the next couple weeks. Buen will return to court Monday to schedule future court proceedings. Quote, obviously it's not the verdict I was hoping for, but that being said, I understand that the jurors certainly did their civic duty and put in a tremendous amount of time and effort, and I appreciate their diligence, end quote, McCollum said. Quote, and at the end of the day, not all 12 people could come to a unanimous decision. I can't fault them, any one individual, two or three individuals, for that. End quote. Siddhartha Rathod, attorney for the Glass family, said Friday that the family wants to see the murder prosecution continue. Quote, the jury found Deputy Buen's conduct to be criminal. The jury found Deputy Buen guilty of reckless endangerment, and it is one step closer to getting justice for Christian. Deputy Buen will reface a jury of his peers, end quote, Rathod said. On the night of the incident, 7 law enforcement officers responded to Glass's 911 call and spent more than an hour trying to coax Glass out of the car while he was experiencing delusions and paranoia. Eventually, Buen decided to break Glass's window and pull him from the car. Prosecutors argued during the 8-day jury trial that officers had no legal reason to force Glass, who they said was experiencing a mental health crisis, out of the car. Buen's defense attorneys said police needed him out of the vehicle in order to investigate him for driving under the influence of drugs or alcohol. When officers broke the window, Glass grabbed a knife and officers fired a taser at him and shot him with beanbags in an attempt to force him to drop it. Instead, Glass twisted in the driver's seat and thrust the knife toward an officer standing next to the shattered window behind him, prompting Buen to shoot Glass 5 times. Glass then stabbed himself several times. McCollum said during closing statements that Buen's actions that night escalated the situation and were objectively unreasonable. Quote, "What would have been wrong with waiting 2 hours or 3 hours?" end quote, she said Wednesday. Quote, "You can let him sit in there for hours, and if that calms him down, if that doesn't lead to anyone's death, don't you think a few hours is worth it?" end quote. Buen's attorney, Carrie Slinkard, accused prosecutors of slanting evidence in the case to create the appearance of a crime when none was actually committed, and argued that Buen had to shoot glass to protect then-Georgetown police marshal Randy Williams, who was closest to the knife when glass twisted in his seat. Quote, "Every single other person on scene said it was justified," end quote, Slinkard told the jury. Quote, "Justified because Christian Glass presented a threat. He had a deadly weapon in his hand, and he, without question, among all those other officers, all the different angles, they said the chief was in danger," end quote. The jury began deliberating midday on Wednesday. A separate grand jury investigation into the incident in 2022 found Glass committed no crime, acted in panic and self-defense before he was killed, and never actually came close to stabbing the officers. The involved law enforcement agencies agreed to a $19 million settlement with Glass's parents in May. Buen was fired after he was indicted. His supervisor, former Clear Creek County Sheriff's Sergeant Kyle Gold, was not there during the incident, but gave Buen permission to break into Glass's car. Gold pleaded guilty to failing to intervene in the excessive force of another officer in November and was sentenced to 2 years of probation. Bird flu confirmed in state dairy cows as outbreak spreads, by Elizabeth Hernandez. The U.S. Department of Agriculture found bird flu in northeast Colorado dairy cows this week, according to state officials. This is the first time avian flu has been diagnosed in Colorado cattle, the State Department of Agriculture said in its announcement. Bird flu in dairy cows has been confirmed in 8 other states, the USDA said. Those include Idaho, South Dakota, Kansas, New Mexico, Texas, Michigan, Ohio, and North Carolina. On Monday, the Colorado State Veterinarian's Office was notified of a dairy herd exhibiting symptoms consistent with bird flu. Signs of avian flu in dairy cows include decreased eating, decreased milk production, and abnormal colostrum-like milk. Sick cattle appear to recover after supportive care, state officials said. Samples submitted to the Colorado State University Veterinary Diagnostic Laboratory tested presumptive positive for highly pathogenic avian influenza, or HPAI, on Wednesday and were confirmed by the USDA's National Veterinary Services Laboratory on Thursday, the state's news release said. Quote, "We continue to see this ongoing HPAI outbreak evolve, and over the last month have seen transmission of the virus now move into dairy cattle," end quote, said Colorado State Veterinarian Maggie Baldwin in a statement. Quote, "While we don't yet completely understand the mechanism of transmission of this virus, we do know that it appears to be spreading from cow to cow and between herds. It is critically important that producers implement enhanced biosecurity measures to mitigate the spread of a highly pathogenic avian influenza," end quote. A Michigan poultry facility and a Texas egg producer have both reported avian flu outbreaks, according to reporting from the Associated Press. Virus developments include infected dairy cows and the first known instance of a human contracting bird flu from a mammal, the AP reported. Colorado's avian flu response webpage will be updated with the state's plans for the ongoing outbreak. The State Department of Agriculture is working with the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment to provide disease control guidance for people exposed in the outbreak, the news release said. Colorado has 106 dairies and about 200,000 dairy cows. At this time, there is no concern about the safety of the commercial milk supply because milk is pasteurized before entering the market, according to the USDA and FDA. Despite health officials saying the risk to the public remains low, people are increasingly concerned, in part because the largest producer of fresh eggs in the nation reported an outbreak, the AP reported. U.S. economy. Federal Reserve Preferred Inflation Gauge Stays High Last Month, by Christopher Rugeber, Washington. A measure of inflation closely tracked by the Federal Reserve remained uncomfortably high in March, likely reinforcing the Fed's reluctance to cut interest rates anytime soon and underscoring a burden for President Joe Biden's re-election bid. Friday's report from the government showed that prices rose 0.3% from February to March, the same as in the previous month. It was the third straight month that the index has run at a pace faster than is consistent with the Fed's 2% inflation target. Measured from a year earlier, prices were up 2.7% in March, up from a 2.5% annual rise in February. After peaking at 7.1% in 2022, the Fed's favored inflation index steadily cooled for most of 2023. Yet, so far this year, the index has remained stuck above the central bank's target rate. More expensive gas and higher prices for restaurant meals, healthcare, and auto repairs and insurance, among other items, have kept the overall pace of price increases elevated. With new car prices up sharply in the past few years, auto repair and replacement costs have risen especially fast. Auto insurance, a major driver of inflation in recent months, was up 8% in March from a year earlier. Gas prices jumped again last month, the government said, up 1.6% just from February to March. So far in April, gas prices are up still further to a national average of $3.66 a gallon from $3.53 a month ago. Grocery prices, though, were unchanged last month and are up only 1.5% from a year earlier. Quote, "This isn't going to sit overly well with the Fed," end quote, said Ryan Sweet, chief U.S. economist at Oxford Economics. Quote, "I think it's clear that they're going to keep rates higher for longer," end quote. Like many economists, Sweet envisions no rate cuts before September. Friday's inflation data showed that excluding volatile food and energy costs, core prices rose by an elevated 0.3% from February to March, unchanged from the previous month. Compared with a year earlier, core prices rose 2.8% for a second straight month. The Fed closely tracks core prices, which tend to provide a particularly good read of where inflation is headed. The chronically elevated measures of inflation have become a source of frustration for the Fed, whose policymakers had projected as recently as last month that they expected to cut their benchmark rate 3 times this year. Most economists expected the cuts to begin in June. More recently, though, several Fed officials, including Chair Jerome Powell, have signaled that they have no immediate plans to cut their key rate, a move that would eventually lead to lower rates for mortgages, auto loans, credit cards, and many business loans. Quote, "Recent data have clearly not given us greater confidence," end quote, that inflation is coming fully under control, Powell said last week, and, quote, "instead indicate that it's likely to take longer than expected to achieve that confidence," end quote. Quote, "If higher inflation does persist," end quote, he added, quote, "we can maintain the current level of interest rates for as long as needed," end quote. Many economists say they think the Fed may end up cutting its key rate only once or twice this year, perhaps beginning in September. Others say they think the central bank may not cut its benchmark rate at all in 2024. One reason why inflation has remained persistently elevated is that many Americans are still willing to spend, even at higher prices. In March, consumer spending jumped 0.8% for a second straight month, well above the rate of inflation. The spending figure underscored that even while the U.S. economy slowed in the first 3 months of 2024, consumer demand remained healthy, suggesting that economic growth remains on track. Sweet said Friday's figures suggest strong consumer spending is a key reason inflation has stayed stubbornly high in the first 3 months of this year. Despite the continuing inflation pressures, robust gains in jobs and average wages have allowed many American consumers to continue spending at a healthy clip, supporting a still durable economy. That helps explain why Fed officials have said they can afford to keep borrowing rates where they are for now. The economy did slow in the first 3 months of the year, the government reported Thursday, but consumers continued to fuel growth with their steady spending. Average incomes, adjusted for inflation, grew 0.2% in March, Friday's report said. After-tax disposable incomes are 1.4% higher than they were a year earlier, a modest gain, the figures show. Beginning in March 2022, the Fed raised its benchmark rate 11 times to attack the worst bout of inflation in 40 years. Those rate hikes helped cool inflation drastically until the decline stalled out at the start of this year. The still elevated price levels pose a challenge for the Biden administration, which has sought to claim credit for inflation's decline. The White House points to an unemployment rate that has remained below 4% for more than 2 years, the longest such stretch since the 1960s. And now for miscellaneous articles. Girl Scouts, going for the gold. Mountain View Senior is one of 29 in Colorado to win prestigious award. By Austin Flesks. A Loveland Girl Scout turned her desire to help others into a community garden at a church in Loveland, a project that earned her the highest Girl Scout award possible, the Gold Award. Addison Bauer was one of 29 Colorado Girl Scouts to earn the award, a process that tasks high school girls with addressing an issue in their community that they are passionate about by planning and implementing something that, quote, produces lasting change in their communities and beyond, end quote, according to a release from the Scouts. Quote, it feels pretty good, end quote, Bauer told the Reporter Herald. Quote, it was a lot of work and a lot of hours, so it really is fulfilling to know I made an impact and won the Gold Award, end quote. For her project, Bauer, a Mountain View High School senior who will be heading to the University of Wisconsin to study chemical engineering following her graduation, built a community garden box at All Saints Episcopal Church at 3448 North Taft Avenue, where it will be tended by the church's gardening club. The Girl Scouts said in its release that through these efforts, she, quote, not only cultivated a green space, but also forged strong community bonds and made a meaningful contribution to addressing food insecurity, end quote. The Gold Award is open to Scouts in high school and is the, quote, most prestigious award, end quote, for Scouts, according to the Girl Scouts release. To be selected for the award, participants must follow a 7-step process: identify an issue, investigate it thoroughly, get help and build a team, create a plan, present the plan and gather feedback, take action, and finally, educate and inspire. Quote, Gold Award Girl Scouts don't just change the world for the better, they change it for good, and these Girl Scouts embody everything this achievement stands for, end quote, said Liana Clark, CEO of Girl Scouts of Colorado, in a release on the award. Quote, each of these young women addressed an issue that's important to her in order to earn her Gold Award, and she's grown as a leader in the process. We congratulate each of these Gold Award Girl Scouts on this momentous accomplishment, and I can't wait to see what they achieve in the future, end quote. Bauer said she had an interest in going for a Gold Award and decided to try for a community garden as well as growing some vegetables, saying her idea for the project stemmed from her time volunteering with the community kitchen. Quote, part of the Gold Award is to make a sustainable impact in a problem that is nationwide and worldwide. I knew issues with food were a problem that is nationwide, end quote, she said. The project was not without its challenges, though. She said she does not have a green thumb, nor is she a master builder. Despite this, she researched the easiest plants to grow, selecting a number of vegetables like tomatoes and bell peppers, and got some help from her troop to build the standing garden box, as well as a former soccer coach and her dad, both of whom had building experience. She said she got the box built early last year and sowed seeds in May. Over several months, Bauer said she grew around 20 to 30 pounds of produce, which she donated to Community Kitchen. That same box still stands outside of the North Taft Avenue Church, ready to be used again by the church's gardening club. Bobby Scheinen, co-leader of the club, said there was an active gardening club community at the church for many years that slowly dissipated. However, just this year, the church decided to restart that ministry to grow and donate food to those in need locally. She said she thought it was awesome that Bauer was given the Gold Award for her project, saying the church is going to use her model to rebuild the rest of their planter boxes starting this Saturday with another group of Girl Scouts who were invited for a day of service. Quote, "Knowing Bauer's box held up so well, we are going to replicate it," end quote, she said, adding the food they grow there will be donated to the House of Neighborly Services. She said the help of Bauer and other local scouts is amazing, not only for the added muscle, but because it, quote, "shows the commitment to the community from the scouts as well," end quote. Bauer said she was happy to be honored with the award, saying she is grateful to know that she could make an impact in her community. To her fellow local scouts, Bauer encouraged them to stick with their troop for the experiences that accompany being a scout. She also encouraged her other Girl Scouts to work toward a gold award if they are interested in it. Quote, "Don't be intimidated by all the work for setting up a gold award or doing it. It's pretty fun. It's a good experience. I enjoyed it," end quote, she said. Front Range Passenger Rail, No Decision Yet on Ballot Language, by Ken Amundsen. Timetables change, but the board of directors for the Front Range Passenger Rail District was expected to decide this month whether to place a tax issue on the November general election ballot to gain voter approval. It didn't happen. The district board, which met for its monthly meeting Friday, can decide as late as July whether to place the issue on the ballot, though board members acknowledge that sooner is better because a campaign to support the issue would need to be run. The FRPR is a district created by the state legislature to plan and eventually run a passenger rail service along the Front Range from Fort Collins to Pueblo and eventually beyond. It has determined a route along the BNSF railway tracks north of Denver and along the combined BNSF Union Pacific tracks south of the city. It has also determined, generally, where stations will be located. In northern Colorado, they would be in Fort Collins, Loveland, Longmont, and Boulder. The ballot question has proved to be more difficult. Friday, the board decided to move ahead with polling to gauge public sentiment on a sales tax rate in the rail district. Quote, "It is time to make this decision that is grounded in reality so voters know what they're getting," end quote, said board member Claire Levy, a former legislator and resident of Boulder County. The grounded in reality part is what occupied much of the board discussion Friday. While recognizing the urgency of getting ballot language drafted, members were uncertain about costs, particularly capital costs, which would affect the amount that is asked of voters. Quote, "We have good numbers around the service, 6 trains daily, but almost none around capital costs," end quote, said Brent Bootson, an attorney with Kaplan Kirsch and Rockwell LLP, who specializes in structuring complex financial projects. Board member Joan Peck, the mayor of Longmont, wanted a split poll to test a couple of different tax rates, and her motion, when amended, would have tested 0.2% and 0.4%. "The upper rate, quote, causes me a lot of alarm," end quote, Levy said. Quote, "If we propose a number that big, would we then lose the municipalities that are backing this?" end quote. Also of concern, as noted by Andy Carcian, general manager of the district, is the amount of bonded debt that the district will require because the project will need upfront money and can't be built at the rate revenue comes in. Quote, "That's the number that voters remember," end quote, he said. Under taxpayer Bill of Rights rules, ballot language has to include not just the principal amount, but what the total payback amount will be. That will be in the billions of dollars, he said. Carcian also said time is of the essence. Quote, "We can't just keep iterating on possibilities," end quote, he said of efforts to change what the group will ask in a poll. Any changes now from what the governor's office has determined will delay the poll and delay the ultimate decision, he said. Quote, if we go to the ballot in 2024, we need to get a service narrative out to the public, end quote, Karsian said. The board ultimately decided against revising the poll language and instead will move toward getting results sooner rather than later so that the board can consider ballot language. Today's obituaries. Irene Betts, Marilyn L. Bylin, Charles E. Muppin, David Crawford, Blaine Brown. Thank you for joining us for the Loveland Reporter Herald, read by Catherine Villa.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.